listening to Vet Candy.
Vet Candy Magazine, Surgery Special Edition. Welcome to the world of Vet Candy. Dr. Jill Lopez, Editor-in-Chief. I am so pleased to bring you this special edition issue of Vet Candy, a veterinary lifestyle magazine filled with engaging voices and inspirational messages from top influencers and experts. We talk about science, clinical updates, and inspirational people who are making our profession a better place. In this first issue, we are talking all about surgery, and we are introducing you to the amazing veterinary surgeon, Dr. Philippa Pavia. New York City native Dr. Philippa has an educational transcript unlike that of most veterinarians. Most of us started with a bachelor's degree in animal science or biology degree, but Dr. Philippa graduated from Yale with a degree in English literature. She later went on to complete her veterinary degree at the University of Pennsylvania and a residency in surgery at the Animal Medical Center. Now she's the medical director at Blue Pearl in Manhattan. Dr. Philippa is also trying something new in 2021, teaching a master's course in surgery. She is teaming up with Vet Candy to bring you a professional surgical certification course, focusing on reinforcing the fundamentals of veterinary surgery and introducing her expert tips. Whether you are new to surgery or want to upgrade your skills, this free course, which is powered by PRN PharmaCal, is for you. You can learn more at myvetcandy.com/surgery. This issue has lots more great information. As editor-in-chief, I would like to thank our amazing writers who bring their expertise to this endeavor. They have all made this issue possible, and I hope you enjoy it. How Dr. Philippa Pavia slays the confidence game. Most veterinarians have a rather traditional educational experience. They apply for veterinary school, and if they get in, they go to one of those schools. If they are not accepted, they seek either a different career path or a different college. Dr. Philippa Pavia turned this usual path on its head by graduating from Yale with a BA in English literature before changing her mind and becoming a vet. It's rare for people who have attained a liberal arts degree at such an illustrious university to turn around and choose a different career, but that's exactly what she did, completing her VMD at the University of Pennsylvania, never looking back. Philippa doesn't believe careers are static, and that turned out to be a good thing when she decided to change things up and veer from English lit to veterinary medicine. At first, she worried that she might not do well in vet school or even be accepted because she was coming from a liberal arts background. Fortunately, it worked out. Not only did she fall in love with veterinary medicine, she was confident in the path before her to become a veterinary surgeon after completing a residency at New York City's Animal Medical Center. She realized her dream in 2014, becoming a board-certified surgeon. Advice for others. Dr. Philippa has climbed to the top thanks to her tenacity, passion for the industry, and excellent hand-eye coordination. This isn't a path others in the same shoes might have taken. By the time Philippa realized that she wanted to be a vet, she was already well along her way in the world of literature. She realized that your path doesn't have to be linear to be the right one for you. It's okay to be flexible, to follow your dreams, and more importantly, to realize when those dreams have changed. One of the most important things you can do for yourself is be open to change and to realize when that needs to happen. If she could give advice to her younger self, she might say, "Your thoughts are not the truth. You are stronger than you know. Perfection doesn't exist, and if it did, you wouldn't want it anyway." This is good advice for everyone, even if you're already in a career and realize it's not right for you. The best course of action isn't to persist, to be miserable for decades, but to find something that makes you happy. Many people refuse to change because they are scared of what that might mean, without realizing how beneficial change can be. As of now, Dr. Philippa works as the medical director for Blue Pearl Downtown. She lives in New York City with her adorable rescue dog, Pierre, a Chihuahua mix. She has many interests outside of veterinary medicine, including riding and training horses, playing the violin, and challenging herself to improve her cooking skills. How Ashtanga Yoga can transform your life. A.M. Kuska. Ashtanga yoga is the most ancient form of yoga, going all the way back to the Vedic texts. This type of yoga is extremely strenuous, with an emphasis on breathing and following strict routines. Ashtanga yoga is typically performed 6 days a week, and is as much a way of living as it is a way to stay fit. In advanced or even normal classes, you are already expected to know the names of all the poses and what to do. So if you're unfamiliar with them, you should join a beginner class. What you may not know when you join, however, is that Ashtanga yoga can be life-changing. Here's how. You may change your behavior for the classes. Many Ashtanga yoga classes are conducted very early in the morning, so that working class yogi can have the opportunity to get their morning routine in before work. If you are one of these people, or decided you want to greet the sun with a yoga routine anyway, this can result in very big changes in your routine. A 6:30 a.m. yoga class means you'll regret it if you stay up watching Netflix all night instead of getting the sleep you genuinely need to be ready in time for class. Changing your routine for yoga class could indeed be healthy for you if it crowds out less healthy habits in exchange for this new routine. It makes you mindful of changes in your life. Ashtanga yoga never changes. The routines are always the same. Yet the routine feels different from day to day. This is not because Ashtanga yoga changes, but because we change as people. By staying mindful of these changes, you can see for yourself how you are doing and keep mental tabs on your body and your life through this powerful series of poses. It makes you feel better about yourself. Ashtanga yoga is a form of meditation. The breathing exercise and focused movement allow you to spend time on yourself and really focus on yourself and your own needs. Regular yoga also makes you feel healthier in a very deep and real way. When we feel healthy, it tends to have a snowball effect on the rest of our life. We drink more water, make healthier food choices, and select organic over factory farm foods. These choices, over time, do make us healthier people, which contributes to how well we do in yoga, in a circle that continues to benefit you. Ashtanga yoga is a unique form of yoga that will help you focus your mind, improve the health of your body, and find the balance you have been seeking for your life. By taking good care of yourself, you can change your whole outlook on life and give yourself a fresh, healthier start. Even if you're not at the healthiest point in your life or don't have the ability to reach those advanced stages of a pose, just starting out is the first step on a long journey to a newer and better you.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
If you're like me, you want to improve your skills. And for many of us in the veterinary field, that means improving your surgical confidence. That's why Vet Candy created a master course in surgery. The master course provides veterinarians and veterinary students with focused education on surgery. The program is taught by a board-certified veterinary surgeon and delivers a thorough evaluation of the science, surgical environment, and skills needed to create and maintain a surgical practice. And what's even more exciting, the course is free and also provides RACE and New York State approved continuing education credits. Plus, when you complete the modular program, you receive a certificate of completion and exclusive marketing tools to celebrate your accomplishment. This program is brought to you by PRN PharmaCal. You can start taking it for free today at myvetcandy.com/surgery.
Suture length to wound length ratio for abdominal closures. Researchers investigated the suture length to wound length ratio, SLWL, in an in vitro model of abdominal wall closure. Three groups of veterinary surgeons with varying levels of experience performed four simple continuous sutures before and after being educated on principles of the SLWL ratio. No significant differences in suture parameters or SLWL ratios were found among the three groups, and 60.5% of control sutures and 77.0% of test sutures had SLWL ratios above 4 to 1. There was a significant improvement in the mean ratio after the information was provided. Overall, the SLWL ratios ranged from 1.54 to 1 to 6.81 to 1, with 36.3% falling between 4 to 1 and 5 to 1. 49 of 120 sutures fulfilled the current recommendations for abdominal wall closure, with a mean SLWL ratio of 4.1 to 1. Suture material made easy. Dr. Courtney Campbell. Suture material is not created equal. Absorption rates, material profile, and needles all have specific indications. While there is some variation on surgical use depending on surgeon preference, selecting the proper suture can dramatically change your surgical outcomes. Size. USP suture size ranges from 11-0 to 8-0. 11-0 is the smallest size, typically used in ocular surgery. Structure. Multifilament, more than one strand. Good flexibility. Rougher surface means increased risk for microtrauma, bacterial infection, and inflammatory response. Polyester is a multifilament synthetic suture, and silk is a multifilament natural suture. Monofilament, single strand. Lower infection risk, less knot security. Nylon and polypropylene are synthetic monofilament materials. Pseudomonofilament, braided core material coated with extruded material. Fair flexibility, less knot security than multifilament. Texture, smooth, requires tying knots to anchor into tissues. Barbed, self-anchoring to tissues. Uses, non-absorbable, used to provide long-term support for tissues that heal slowly. Newer polyethylene, polypropylene blends provide flex or feedback to surgeon prior to suture breakage. Uses, hernia closure, general soft tissue approximation, ligation abdominal wound closure, sternal closure, ligament and tendon repair. Absorbable, used for tissues that heal rapidly. Short term, lasts for days. Uses, in tissues that heal rapidly and require minimal support, ligating superficial blood vessels and suturing subcutaneous fatty tissue, internal soft tissue wounds, or lacerations. Not for cardiovascular or neurological procedures. Midterm lasts for weeks. Uses, subcuticular closure and soft tissue approximations and ligations with the exception of neural, cardiovascular, ophthalmic, plastic, digestive, and colonic surgeries. When it comes to happiness, what's love got to do with it? How accurate was William Shakespeare when he said, "'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all." Researchers from Michigan State University conducted one of the first studies of its kind to quantify the happiness of married, formerly married, and single people at the end of their lives to find out just how much love and marriage played into overall well-being. The study, published in the Journal of Positive Psychology, examined the relationship histories of 7,532 people followed from ages 18 to 60 to determine who reported to be happiest at the end of their lives. People often think that they need to be married to be happy, so we ask the questions. Do people need to be in a relationship to be happy? Does living single your whole life translate to unhappiness? What about if you were married at some point but it didn't work out? Said William Chopic, MSU Assistant Professor of Psychology and co-author of the paper. Turns out, staking your happiness on being married isn't a sure bet. Chopic and Mariah Pearl, MSU Psychology Master's student and co-author, found that participants fell into one of three groups. 79% were consistently married, spending the majority of their lives in one marriage. 8% were consistently single, or people who spent most of their lives unmarried. And 13% had varied histories or a history of moving in and out of relationships, divorce, remarrying, or becoming widowed. The researchers then asked participants to rate overall happiness when they were older adults and compared it with the group into which they fell. We were surprised to find that lifelong singles and those who had varied relationship histories didn't differ in how happy they were, said Pearl. This suggests that those who have loved and lost are just as happy towards the end of life than those who never loved at all. While married people showed a slight uptick in happiness, Pearl said the margin was not substantial, nor what many may expect. If the consistently married group answered a 4 out of 5 on how happy they were, consistently single people answered a 3.82, and those with varied history answered a 3.7. When it comes to happiness, whether someone is in a relationship or not is rarely the whole story, Chopic said. People can certainly be in unhappy relationships, and single people derive enjoyment from all sorts of other parts of their lives, like their friendships, hobbies, and work. In retrospect, if the goal is to find happiness, it seems a little silly that people put so much stock in being partnered. If someone longs for a lifelong partner to start a family and build a happy life together, Chopic and Pearl's research suggests that if that individual isn't completely happy to begin with, getting married won't likely dramatically change it at all. It seems like it may be less about the marriage and more about the mindset, Pearl said. If you can find happiness and fulfillment as a single person, you'll likely hold on to that happiness, whether there's a ring on your finger or not.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. Vet Candy Radio delivers world-class content with engaging voices and inspirational messages curated by a network of top influencers and experts. Stream 24/7 at myvetcandy.com.
Healthy mind, longer life. My Vet Candy. We have known for decades that mental health plays an important role in one's quality of life. But a study released this week suggests it also has an important factor in one's quantity of life. A new University of Toronto study that followed 12,424 adult Canadians from the mid-1990s until 2011 found that those who were in suboptimal mental health at the beginning of the study died, on average, 4.7 months earlier than their peers who were in excellent mental health. The study took into account the usual suspects for premature mortality, including the respondents' functional limitations, health behaviors, such as smoking, heavy drinking, and physical activity level, physical diseases, such as cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and chronic pain, and social support at baseline. Ever after fully adjusting for these risk factors, we still found that those with suboptimal mental health at the beginning of the study had a 14% higher risk of all-cause mortality over the 18 years of the study, says Esme Fuller Thompson, lead author of the study. Fuller Thompson is director of the University of Toronto's Institute for Life course in Aging and professor at the Factor and Wentash Faculty of Social Work, FIFSW, and the Department of Family and Community Medicine. A dichotomous flourishing indicator was created to identify people who were happy and satisfied with life and had good psychological functioning at baseline in 1994 and 1995. In contrast to those with suboptimal mental health, the flourishing scale we developed set a very high bar, reports Yu Lung, a doctoral student at the FIFSW. In 1994 and 1995, 81% of the sample were flourishing and 19% were in suboptimal mental health. The findings of this Canadian study are in keeping with my previous research in the US, where I found that baseline suboptimal mental health was associated with higher 10-year mortality, says co-author Corey L. M. Keyes, professor of sociology at Emory University in Atlanta. Unfortunately, the study's secondary data analysis did not have sufficient information to understand why excellent mental health is associated with longer life. We have several hypotheses that we would like to investigate in future research, says co-author Carrie J. West, a doctoral candidate at the FIFSW. Previous research has found that positive effect is associated with lower levels of cortisol, reduced inflammation, and better cardiovascular activity. Furthermore, individuals with high levels of mental well-being are more likely to consume nutritious foods, adhere to treatment regimens, maintain strong social ties, and have better sleep quality, which may contribute to longevity. In addition to mental health, the researchers looked at other factors at baseline that were associated with premature mortality. As expected, modifiable risk factors included smoking, heavy drinking, and infrequent physical activity, were associated with a higher probability of all-cause mortality, reports co-author Philip Biden, assistant professor of social work at the University of Texas at Arlington. Cancer, heart disease, diabetes, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and high blood pressure were associated with a higher probability of death over the follow-up period. The researchers examined data from a nationally representative sample of 12,424 respondents aged 18 years and older in the Canadian National Population Health Survey. Participants were first interviewed in 1994 and 1995, Wave 1, and then were followed until 2010 and 2011, Wave 9. Mortality data was ascertained by the Canadian Vital Statistics Death Database in Wave 9. By the end of the study period, 2,317 of the participants had died. This research was published online ahead of press this week in the Journal of Psychosomatic Research. The association between suboptimal mental health and premature death is a robust relationship that is independent of health conditions, pain, functional limitations, and negative health behaviors at baseline, says Fuller Thompson. Our findings underline the importance of considering the mind and body as a true continuum. Researchers find CBD improves arthritis symptoms in dogs. A team led by researchers at Baylor College of Medicine in collaboration with Medterra CBD conducted the first scientific studies to assess the potential therapeutic effects of cannabis oil, CBD, for arthritic pain in dogs, and the results could lead the way to studying its effect in humans. Researchers focused on these animals because their condition closely mimics the characteristics of human arthritis, the leading cause of pain and disability in the U.S., for which there is no effective treatment. Related, get our guide to CBD. Published in the journal, Pain, the study first showed both in laboratory tests and mouse models that CBD, a non-addictive product derived from hemp, cannabis, can significantly reduce the production of inflammatory molecules in immune cells associated with arthritis. Subsequently, the study showed that in dogs diagnosed with the condition, CBD treatment significantly improved quality of life, as documented by both owner and veterinarian assessments. This work supports future scientific evaluation of CBD for human arthritis. CBD is rapidly increasing in popularity due to its anecdotal health benefits for a variety of conditions, from reducing anxiety to helping with movement disorders, said corresponding author Dr. Matthew Halpert, research faculty in the Department of Pathology and Immunology at Baylor. In 2019, Medterra CBD approached Baylor to conduct independent scientific studies to determine the biological capabilities of several of its products. In the current study, Halpert and his colleagues first measured the effect of CBD on immune responses associated with arthritis, both in human and murine cells grown in the lab and in mouse models. Using Medterra tinctures, they found that CBD treatment resulted in reduced production of both inflammatory molecules and immune cells linked to arthritis. The researchers also determined that the effect was quicker and more effective when CBD was delivered encapsulated in liposomes than when it was administered naked. Liposomes are artificially formed tiny spherical sacs that are used to deliver drugs and other substances into tissues at higher rates of absorption. Halpert and colleagues next assessed the effect of naked and liposome-encapsulated CBD on the quality of life of dogs diagnosed with arthritis. We studied dogs because experimental evidence shows that spontaneous models of arthritis, particularly in domesticated canine models, are more appropriate for assessing human arthritis pain treatments than other animal models. The biological characteristics of arthritis in dogs closely resemble those of the human condition, Halpert said. Arthritis is a common condition in dogs. According to the American Kennel Club, it affects 1 out of 5 dogs in the United States. The 20 client-owned dogs enrolled in the study were seen at Sunset Animal Hospital in Houston. The dog owners were randomly provided with identical unidentified medication bottles that contained CBD, liposomal CBD, or a placebo. Neither the owners nor the veterinarian knew which treatment each dog received. After 4 weeks of daily treatment, owners and veterinarians reported on the condition of the dogs, whether they observed changes in the animal's level of pain, such as changes related to running or gait. The dog's cell blood count and blood indicators of liver and kidney function were also evaluated before and after the 4 weeks of treatment. "We found encouraging results," Halpert said. 9 of the 10 dogs on CBD showed benefits, which remained for 2 weeks after the treatment stopped. "We did not detect alterations in the blood markers we measured, suggesting that, under the condition of our study, the treatment seems to be safe." Comparison of surgical time, complications, and postoperative pain with ovariectomy procedures in dogs. A study compared combined laparoscopic ovariectomy, OIE, and laparoscopic assisted incisional gastropixy, LAG, with combined laparoscopic OIE and total laparoscopic gastropixy, TLG, for surgical time, incidence of complications, and postoperative pain. 28 female dogs were randomly assigned to the LAG group, N equals 14, or the TLG group, N equals 14. All laparoscopic procedures were performed using a 3-port technique. The gastropexy was located 3 centimeters caudal to the 13th rib and 4 centimeters lateral to the rectus abdominis muscle. Combined laparoscopic OIE and TLG require more time to perform than combined laparoscopic OIE and LAG. Minor postoperative complications occurred in both groups and included swelling in 2 patients and subcutaneous emphysema in 1. No significant differences in pain as measured through the Glasgow Pain Score, GPS, were noted, but the GPS was significantly higher in both groups at 1 and 6 hours than before surgery.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Suture material is not created equal. Absorption rates, material profile, and needles all have specific indications. Selecting the proper suture can dramatically change your surgical outcomes. Smart selections. Quality choices. Choose PRN Pharmacal. Visit prnpharmacal.com for more information.
Secrets to Eating Mindfully. Caitlin Chiari. Mealtimes can be quite hectic for moms as we speed around the kitchen, frantically trying to figure out a seemingly balanced meal with a little one tugging at their leg or crying in the background. And before long, the entire process simply feels like a chore. Either they don't choose the right food, the right amount, or the right times to be eating, and end up feeling as though they haven't really been satisfied all day. Not only will this lead to eventual weight gain or prevent weight loss, it also perpetuates an unhealthy relationship with food that is being inadvertently taught and role modeled to their child. Here are 5 tips to start eating mindfully. Number 1. First things first, clear your minds of all the preconceived ideas you have surrounding types of foods and the associations they conjure up for us. For example, thoughts such as bread equals sugar equals gaining weight, or cookies equal unhealthy equal bad. Number 2. Next, think about what your body is feeling in terms of hunger and how much food it might actually need. It might be a salad, a burger, a chicken dish, pasta, or maybe even just an apple. Number 3. Be sure that you are free from inappropriate distractions when beginning to eat. This means no texting, TV watching, talking on the phone, or reading emails. Not only is this crucial for your own mindfulness practice, but it opens up the awareness for you to connect with your family or friends during meals. Number 4. Appreciate the aroma and appearance of your food as you reflect on the tastes, textures, smells, and colors. Some will even find it useful to contemplate the origins of their food to help them connect to the taste and satisfaction gained while consuming it. When feeding children, it is always a great idea to talk about these aspects of the food and provide some education about how it was grown, made, or cooked. Number 5. Once you are about halfway through your meal, take a moment to pause and consider how full you are feeling and whether you need to keep eating. All too often, we eat the portion in front of us rather than the amount our body really requires, which, as we all know, will lead to weight gain, regardless of whether the food was healthy or unhealthy in our minds. five things veterinarians need to know about CBD in pets. As a veterinarian, it is important to be up to date on every new pet care trend. As with any new wellness trend, when it comes to CBD oil for pets, there's a lot of information floating around online. Not all of it is true or based on facts. Check out these five facts every veterinarian needs to know about CBD in pets. Number one, in 2018, the Agricultural Improvement Act of 2018, also known as the 2018 Farm Bill, reclassified CBD as an agricultural commodity. Number two, the legality of CBD can vary from state to state. Number three, hemp-derived CBD is legal in most states, but only if it contains less than 0.3% THC, it adheres to the shared state federal regulations, it is grown by a properly licensed grower. Number four, FDA has approved one cannabis-derived and three cannabis-related drug products for human use. Number five, there are no FDA-approved CBD products for veterinary use. Products marketed for pets are classified as nutraceutical supplements. Therefore, these products cannot make health claims. Factors that affect the duration of anesthesia in surgery. Researchers evaluated records from 1,288 gonadectomies that had been performed by veterinary students during a surgical rotation. Each student performed an average of 6.6 gonadectomies over 24 weeks. Dogs, females, increasing weight, intraoperative complications, and earlier sequential cases were associated with longer duration of surgery in anesthesia and accounted for 50% and 59% of anesthetic and surgical time variance. The rate of intraoperative complications was higher during canine ovariohysterectomies. Duration of anesthesia and surgery for canine orchidectomy increased by more than 20 minutes, and for canine ovariohysterectomy decreased by more than 10 minutes over 24 weeks without the students reaching a learning plateau. Pharmacokinetics of CBD in osteoarthritic dogs. Researchers evaluated the oral pharmacokinetics and assessed the safety and efficacy of a cannabidiol, CBD-based oil, in dogs with osteoarthritis, OA. A clinical trial with client-owned dogs presenting for evaluation and treatment of a lameness due to OA was also performed. 16 dogs completed the trial. The study was a randomized, placebo-controlled, owner and veterinarian double-blind crossover trial. Dogs received each of two treatments in random order. CBD, 2 milligrams or kilograms every 12 hours, or placebo every 12 hours. Each treatment was administered for 4 weeks with a 2-week washout period in between treatments. Blood was collected to repeat complete blood counts and chemistry analysis at weeks 2 and 4 for each treatment. Pharmacokinetics revealed an elimination half-life of 4.2 hours at both doses. Clinically, the treated dog showed a significant decrease in pain and increase in activity with CBD oil. Veterinary assessment showed decreased pain during CBD treatment. No side effects were reported by owners, but serum chemistry showed an increase in alkaline phosphatase during CBD treatment. The use of luteinizing hormone tests can help veterinarians avoid surgery to confirm neuter status. A study evaluated the performance of a blood test in determining neuter status in female cats. Residual blood samples from 236 female cats of unknown neuter were tested for luteinizing hormone, LH. A positive LH test result indicated that the cat was neutered. Cats were examined for surgical scars suggestive of prior neutering, and if scars were not found, an exploratory laparotomy was performed to confirm neuter status. The prevalence of neutered cats in this sample was confirmed to be 49%. The specificity of the test in detecting neutered cats was 100%, and the sensitivity was 69%. Clinical evaluation of postoperative analgesia in dogs. 30 dogs of different breeds underwent elective ovariohysterectomies and were randomly assigned to one of three treatment groups and a meloxicam group, 0.2 milligrams per kilogram intravenously. All treatments were administered 30 minutes prior to surgery. Acetaminophen was administered every 8 hours postoperatively for 48 hours total, while carbapenem and meloxicam were administered intravenously every 24 hours. All groups exhibited a gradual reduction in pain throughout the postoperative period on both scales. However, neither scale differed significantly between the three treatment groups during the 48 postoperative hours. Three things you need to know about sutures. Dr. Courtney Campbell. There's a lot to consider when suturing a wound. Suturing wounds and depossing tissue must be done in consideration of suture material, anticipated wound healing times, tissue types, local factors, location of the wound, and other specific patient factors, e.g., age, weight, overall health status, presence of infection, and a host of other factors. The process of selecting suture, however, doesn't have to be another source of anxiety in the operating room. Here are three factors about suture that, when selected appropriately, can help you sleep better at night. Infection. The sources and potential causes for surgical site infection are plentiful. From surgical preparation to patient health status, surgical technique, and perioperative use of antibiotics, there are a host of variables that can potentially contribute to surgical site infection. Therefore, attention to detail during surgery is a top priority. One detail that warrants serious attention in preventing surgical site infections is suture choice. Monofilament has an advantage over other sutures in helping to prevent surgical site infection. The advantage of multifilament suture is rooted in its ability to decrease bacterial bioadhesion and improve the ability of phagocytes to reach bacteria with the suture. To underscore the importance of monofilament suture, one company has made available the opportunity to use a monofilament suture for all types of surgeries. Triclosan-coated suture can also be considered when looking to decrease surgical site infection. Although some earlier studies have questioned their use, a recent study indicated that suture type may be an important factor in the efficacy of triclosan. The in vitro study found that of the three triclosan-coated sutures used in the present study, triclosan-coated polydioxinone, monofilament, polygleprapone 25, monofilament, and polyglactin 910, multifilament. Polyglactin 910 had the smallest zones of inhibition for all of the bacterial isolates, and durations of inhibition were shorter for the suture type than for the two monofilament sutures. On visual assessment, uncoated polyglactin 910 suture was found to have the greatest burden of adherent bacteria, E. coli. Although in vivo investigation is required to confirm that the results would be similar in a clinical setting, their study provided compelling in vitro evidence to support the use of triclosan-coated materials in contaminated surgical sites or in patients for which the development of surgical site infection would lead to severe morbidity. Essentially, due to the morbidity related to surgical site infections, the patient welfare implications and other evidence suggesting that triclosan-coated suture materials are safe, it is wise to consider their use. Additionally, CDC recommendations in the human medical field support their potential to decrease the incidence of surgical site infections. Memory. Monofilament sutures have multiple advantages over multifilament sutures, but multifilament does have the edge when it comes to memory. A suture with high memory will spring back to its original position. While sutures with high memory tend to be strong, they may be difficult to handle, with decreased knot security. This may cause your suture line to tangle, induce a great deal of frustration, and risk knot failure during healing. The knot security is lower in sutures with high memory because the suture has a tendency to return to its original straight, extruded state. Therefore, more throws in the knot are required to securely hold monofilament than braided nylon sutures. Sutures with a high degree of memory can be more challenging to handle and can increase surgical time. Although many surgeons stretch the suture to remove suture memory, that technique may cause inadvertent displacement of the swag needle from the suture strand. Fortuitously, sutures have been made available in racetrack packaging. This innovative storage solution gives sutures fewer turns around the track, which allows for less memory, easier handling, and faster, more efficient wound closure. Absorption. It is not natural for the body to contain suture. By definition, suture material is a foreign body implanted into tissues. As a foreign material, it is possible for suture to elicit a foreign body tissue reaction. Among the various characteristics of an ideal suture material, having a favorable absorption profile, low tissue reactivity, and high tensile strength are some of the most important. Absorbable sutures are intended to temporarily support the wound during the natural healing process. Absorption occurs by enzymatic degradation in natural materials and by hydrolysis in synthetic materials. Hydrolysis causes less tissue reaction than enzymatic degradation. If the suture degrades too quickly, the wound may dehisce with normal movement and stress. Therefore, it is paramount to select suture material with the ideal tensile strength and the optimal absorption rate for the surgical wound. It is important to remember that loss of tensile strength and absorption rate are two separate characteristics. Suture absorption rates can be generally defined as short-term, mid-term, and long-term. Long-term has also colloquially been referred to as max, as in the maximum time suture mass absorption occurs for the suture to still be considered absorbable. The differences in the suture absorption rates can be complicated and difficult to remember. To help simplify your choice, consider selecting suture material with the absorption class incorporated into the name of the suture. This may make the process easier, particularly in cases in which it's difficult to recall the exact mass absorption times. For example, it may be more challenging to remember the absorption time of a suture labeled glycinate monofilament suture versus a suture labeled glycinate short-term or glycinate mid-term. Although the factors that influence final wound and tissue healing can seem overwhelming, allow your suture selection to improve your chances for an excellent surgical outcome. On the road with the traveling veterinary nurse, Lucy Taylor. My Vet Candy. Most veterinary nurses finish school and find a clinic to work in for the rest of their lives. Although they may travel for pleasure, their work is relatively stationary, so customers know where to find the high-quality vet care they need. At first, Lucy thought she would be following a similar path, but a school trip abroad changed everything for her. She took an Erasmus trip to Estonia and volunteered at an animal shelter there. The trip changed her. She took another trip, this time with the focus of conservation in South Africa the following year, and knew what she wanted to do with her life. The traveling nurse. Lucy made a bold move after veterinary school and became a traveling locum nurse. She has since been to Spain, Sardinia, and Morocco for her work. While she is in these locations, she often volunteers with organizations such as Vets Beyond Borders, so she can help make a difference in the lives of animals in need. A typical volunteer day may involve working closely with vets to examine, anesthetize, and spay or neuter a long string of dogs as quickly as possible. Not only are the animals spayed or neutered, but other procedures that may benefit the animal are done at the same time while they are under. This could mean extractions to remove decaying teeth or enucleations. Sometimes the animal is too unhealthy for surgery, at which point they would call and recommend to the shelter or whoever they are currently helping that the animal not undergo surgery. Other complications, such as retained testicles, can also make it harder to do the surgery. Often the veterinary team ends up missing lunch or working late into the night in order to help as many animals as possible. While it is difficult work, they are happy to do it because that means one more animal is getting the help it needs. Zookeeper? Entertainer? Lucy is passionate about her job and loves every moment of helping animals while she travels the world. While she knows this job is the perfect one for her without a doubt, if she hadn't become a vet, she did have other aspirations to follow. Her original childhood dream was to become a zookeeper, which she might have pursued if veterinary school had not have been an option. Her other choice would be as an entertainer. In fact, she still sometimes plays an elf at Christmas time in Lapland, Finland. When she's not an elf, she still finds the ability to entertain, but also educate through a podcast about becoming a traveling veterinary nurse she does with co-host Amber LaRocque. In it, they talk about traveling veterinary medicine and the unique aspects of trying to help animals while on the road. Lucy enjoys every minute of her life as a traveling veterinary nurse. She has helped save thousands of needy dogs through her efforts in faraway countries, and has also been an inspiration for veterinary students who dream of helping animals, but also traveling too. Follow Lucy on Instagram, The Traveling Vet Nurse. Thank you for listening to Vet Candy Magazine. Please check out our master course in surgery at myvetcandy.com/surgery. If you want to stay up to date with everything VetMed, follow us on social media at MyVetCandy.
It's Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
It's Vet Candy Radio.